Tonight's producers of the month for the month of February are Eric Rhine and Corey Stevens. And if you want to be producer of the month, go to patreon.com/Gilbert Gottfried and send us some suggestions.
Hey, we've got some bills to pay. The podcast rent is due today. Check or cash, it's all it takes. And we'll make you a producer of the month.
Here we go, boys.
Hi. and that's Frank Santopadre. I'm Gilbert Gottfried. And if I have this correct, this is Gilbert and Frank's colossal, amazing... See, I didn't get it right.
Nope, reverse them.
Amazing, forget it. Obsessions.
That's it. Yes. I think you referred to yourself as Gilbert Gottfried in the intro. Is that possible?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Because you're often confused.
I wanted to anglicize it.
I wanted
to have a more Gentile.
I understand. Before we start, you had a couple of tweets you wanted to mention
yes.
from people?
Yeah. One of them was, I think his name was Ben Greenman.
Oh, I know Ben Greenman. He's a writer.
And he said that, you know, he liked the episode with Gino Conforti. And he says that this podcast proves over and over again that you don't need to be afraid of your 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Oh, isn't that a nice thing?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, I didn't see that. He didn't share that with me. Ben is a very accomplished writer who wrote a biography of Brian Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
we got to have him here, actually. We're going to have him on a mini episode.
So I that one really struck me because
that's very sweet.
It's kind of like our intention to do that.
And because we're both, you know, approaching our 80s.
Exactly. You know, a couple of years ago, we would have said, fuck that. That's when you're senile and you should die.
Yes.
Now we're a little more open.
Well, I hired a trainer recently, so I'm feeling spry.
Yeah.
I did. She comes to the house. It's great. What did you want to say? What was the other tweet?
Oh, the other one I think was from Adam.
Uh-huh.
And he said that movie I was in that I still haven't seen. I don't plan to.
Which one?
Funky Monkey.
He tweeted about Funky Monkey?
He said that cost $30 million.
Are you serious?
To make. And then there were legal problems because they found out that the investors were given an inflated budget.
Wow.
And so there were legal...
Scandal.
That would make a better movie than the movie itself.
Yeah, why won't you watch it? Aren't you curious?
It's kind of... That scam sounds like the producers.
It does. It really does. The scam that got Trump elected. I would like to thank four people, actually. I want to thank two artists. This gentleman, I showed this to you. This is from a gentleman named Harry Blackfoot. I love his name.
Yes.
And this is a Steven Seagal kind of a movie parody. Gilbert Gottfried, Bad Guys Will Bleed From Their Ears. And the title of the movie is Shrill Justice.
Yeah.
And I assume he was inspired by our episode where we talked about bad action movie taglines.
Oh, yes.
But this is great art. Terrific Photoshop art. And also Steve Hanna, who does such wonderful stuff for us. He did that Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving.
Oh, great.
And he did us as zombies for Halloween where we were decomposing. And he just did the Cesar Romero one with the orange wedges. Did you see that? Where our faces were on orange wedges?
Oh, no.
Did I not show this one to you?
Yeah. Oh, I got to see this
one. It's on my phone. But, Steve, he doesn't miss a holiday. And we love getting this stuff. It inspires us.
I forget now. Is there some connection with Cesar Romero on orange wedges?
I'll try to dig it up on my Facebook page, but right now it's going to take me a while, but I'll show it to you. A great job by Steve Hanna and Harry Blackfoot. And we love the art. We love the Photoshop. We love the illustrations. It's always a surprise. We also love coming into Nutmeg and having Frank hand us packages. which happened tonight, we got from a gentleman named Tony Denera. I hope I'm saying that right. D-E-N-E-R-A. Tony D. Sent a nice, so he calls himself the girly man. Joining Arnold, Rise of the Girly Man, Tony Denera.
We won't get into that.
Yes, he sent us a nice book for Gilbert's children, which was very sweet. And also, I'm leaning off Mike to pick it up, from Philip Glatz, he sent Gilbert a commemorative Bill Cosby coin.
Yes, yes. It has a different meaning now than it used to.
Yeah, definitely not legal tender. And from Philip sent me orange wedge cufflinks.
Still trying to figure out what that means.
There's no connection. There's no connection.
I don't remember ever talking about orange wedges.
Yeah, we want to thank everybody for their generosity and keep the art coming. You don't have to keep the gifts coming, but we do love getting them. So, without further ado, we have a premise here. For this mini episode, Paul is not here this week. I know you're heartbroken about that.
Oh, yes.
Paul is in Italy. there's something there. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's doing research. He's doing long-distance research.
And someone corrected me. Now, I said, when I said Frankenstein 1960,
yes.
that I wasn't sure.
Right, you said
of
it.
The year.
I said that. Yes, you said it.
And people are going, oh, it was 1970.
They live for it.
Yeah, and I said I wasn't sure. And then someone even said,
I know who it was. I have no names.
And you claim to be a big fan of... I never claimed to be. The people who made that film know it's a piece of shit.
Exactly. So back the truck up. I cleaned that up because I didn't want to be snooty to our loyalists.
Oh yeah.
No jokes about Paul being in Italy. I'm going to move right past that. This is producer of the month.
Well, by Paul being in Italy is the most he's helped this show. Just being as far away from the show.
Italy's not quite far enough.
Is a great help. If he can get on the space shuttle, this show would be perfect.
Paul, we love you and miss you. Come on home. Now, we're going to combine, because it's Oscar week, and we're going to combine two producer of the months, one from Eric Ryan, our friend Eric Ryan, who sends us lots of goodies and loves the show, is obsessed with the show and tweets about it constantly, and a gentleman named Corey Stevens. They both pitched ideas for Oscar-themed ideas. Eric's was Oscar Injustices, which we'll talk about a little bit. I have a list here, and I want to get your take. And Corey Stevens wants to know, of the last 20 best pictures, which do we think will hold up the best over time?
That's a good one.
So I have a list, and we'll tick them off. But let's start with Eric, with Oscar Injustices. Now, he writes, which Oscar films or nominations do you feel, I can't even read my own writing. But he's basically asking us about snubs, about actors who were nominated or not nominated.
Now, wasn't Raging Bull, it didn't win?
No, it didn't win. It lost to Ordinary People.
Yeah.
How about that? That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one off the top of your head.
And one that they kind of corrected the following year is Rod Steiger didn't win the award for The Pawnbroker.
Oh, that's correct.
And it went to Lee Marvin and Cat Ballou.
So
the next year, they gave it to Rod Steiger for
Heat of the Night. You think so? You think they were correcting?
Yeah, it seemed like we screwed them the first time over.
That's happened a couple of times. I mean, Paul Newman did not get the Oscar for The Verdict.
Yes.
Which he truly deserved. And they wound up giving him For the Color of Money.
Oh, yeah.
Which was an okay performance.
Yeah,
where he brought back
like
Fast Eddie Felsen. But so many performances that he should have been nominated for.
Oh, my God,
Or at least he was nominated but didn't win. I got some winners here for you, Gil. No Oscar. Here's my problem with Oscar. I have a couple of different problems with Oscar, but as my pal Rick Willett knows from our previous conversations about this, he's an Oscar buff, and I'm always breaking his balls about this kind of stuff. No Oscar for Hitchcock, for Barbara Stanwyck, for Chaplin, or Cary Grant.
Wow.
In their acting and directing careers. Honorary Oscars.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of those who you assume have gotten like 1,000 each.
Yeah, how do you not give Hitchcock at any point an Academy Award? But no, he was not even nominated for North by Northwest.
Wow.
Which is rather shocking. They were all awarded honorary Oscars at some point. Here's a weird one. Citizen Kane, one Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
And only for screenplay.
Well, like Citizen Kane, the Hollywood community was kind of scared of.
Mm-hmm.
Because
of Hearst.
Yeah.
Because he put the fear of God in everybody.
Yeah. William Randolph Hearst had control over the media.
Yeah.
And so nobody wanted to support that film.
It won Best Original Screenplay. For Herman Mankiewicz and Welles, I assume. I think Welles collaborated on that. But nothing else.
Yeah.
Not Best Picture. Welles himself did not win. But you give a logical explanation for it. Singing in the Rain, 1952, loses to The Greatest Show on Earth.
Oh, wow.
How's that possible?
Yeah.
Okay. That's one.
And it's one of those where everybody remembers Singing in the Rain.
And nobody remembers The Greatest Show. I remember Jimmy Stewart as the clown.
Yes.
And Charlton Heston's in it.
Wait a second. Was Jimmy Stewart a clown who was actually a doctor?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have seen bits and pieces of that movie.
Because someone gets hurt.
It's an entirety.
In the circus. And him as the clown, works on this guy and saves
I don't know if that's it. Well, we'll put it out there to people. I'm sure they will let us know.
Now they'll start screaming at me.
It's a Cecil B. DeMille. Yeah, you call yourself a Jimmy Stewart expert? It's a Cecil B. DeMille picture. I must have killed more men than Cecil B. DeMille. You know what that's from?
No.
Blazing Saddles.
Oh, wow.
When the Waco Kid, when Gene Wilder is talking about his days as a gunslinger. Here's another one that's going to really bug you. 1957, Tony Curtis not nominated for The Sweet Smell of Success.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
How is that possible? And making it hurt all the more was that the Best Supporting Actor that year went to Red Buttons for Sayonara. I don't think Lancaster was nominated either.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
That's really strange. Here's one that's going to bug you too. Hitchcock lost Best Director. He was nominated for Vertigo in 1958, which is now on top of everybody's all-time American film list. I think it replaced Citizen Kane on the AFI list.
It's one of those weird things.
Yeah, also
that
weird.
I don't understand. Like, so if you loved Citizen Kane, don't love it anymore.
Right, because Vertigo bumped it from the spot.
Yeah.
I think it was just a reason to make the list relevant again.
Oh, exactly.
Newsworthy again. Hitchcock was nominated, but he lost Best Director to Vincent Minnelli for Gigi.
Ah.
And again,
nobody's
talking about Gigi. And
they are talking about Gigi.
Oh, I got it.
Very good. It was a long way to go.
Well,
for
that
joke.
Was a nice pun.
Yeah. We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
And now back to the show. Let's see. Here's another one that gets under my skin. Kubrick, Stanley Kubrick, Best Director, 2001. Loses to Carol Reed for Oliver. How about that?
Yes.
1968. Who's talking about Oliver?
No one.
People are talking about 2001. So it's interesting that our other listener asks which of these films stand the test of time, because we're talking about films that won the award and have not stood the test of time. Carol Reed, a fine director, by the way, who made The Third Man, which is a wonderful picture.
Yes.
And No Way Out with your buddy James Mason. Here's one Rocky, 1976. A nice movie.
Yeah.
But it won Best Picture over Taxi Driver, Network, and All the President's Men.
Wow.
I'm not sure about that. I guess it's personal taste. But again, I think, that one is less egregious. Here's one that bugs me. 1979, Roy Scheider and All That Jazz, Best Actor, and Peter Sellers for Being There, they lose in the category of Best Actor to Dustin Hoffman for Kramer versus Kramer.
Ah.
Which I don't think was as special a performance.
You know,
but this is all opinion, of course.
If we ever get Richard Dreyfuss on the show.
We have to get him.
We have to ask him.
He's been going through some hard times.
Richard Dreyfuss was the one originally wanted to star.
Oh, yeah. In All That Jazz. That's right. I think there's footage. I think there's rehearsal footage or something. It exists somewhere. Yeah.
And he didn't get along with the director.
Fosse.
They were arguing back and forth. And he used to complain to his best friend, Roy Scheider.
Right.
And then Roy Scheider says, gee, I think I'd like to do this.
And he did. And got nominated for an Academy Award. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Dreyfuss had that great line where he said, nobody needs to see my fat Jew ass prancing around on the screen. He was very self-deprecating about it. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was that they clashed. He was probably doing a lot of cocaine at that time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they, and coming off an Oscar for The Goodbye Girl.
Oh, that's right.
In 78 or 77. But I don't know if they clashed or Dreyfuss just decided, no, I'm not cut out for a musical.
Yeah.
And nobody, who would think Roy Scheider could carry him, could carry that role? He's terrific in it. The thing that bothered me about that year, and I remember caring a lot that year, is maybe the last times I was passionate about the Oscars, but I was hoping Sellers would win for playing Chance the Gardener in Being There, because it was a career capper.
Yes.
He was in failing health. He always had the bad ticker.
Yeah.
He only made one more film. He made the fiendish plot of Fu Manchu instead of going out on Being There, which is kind of a tragedy. But I really wanted him to get that kind of that kind of career achievement Oscar, whereas Hoffman's career was still young.
Now, Bob Fosse, the funny thing is, if you watch him dance, you see where Michael Jackson.
Oh, barred a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, Quincy Jones.
Oh, yes.
Said Michael Jackson was a thief, as well as Quincy Jones saying that Marlon Brando fucked Richard Pryor.
We had that on a previous show.
But
associating again.
You can never say that sentence enough. Marlon Brando fucked Richard Pryor.
Well, wait a minute. How do you know who was the top? Maybe it was the other way around.
I like to picture a 700-pound Marlon Brando climbing on a terrified Richard Pryor.
More terrified than when he caught fire. To have Marlon Brando mounting him. When we have Richard Donner on the show, you're going to ask him about Brando.
That's all I'm going to ask Richard Pryor.
You know, speaking of Bob Fosse, I didn't write it down, but some people consider Fosse winning Best Director for Cabaret, over Coppola for The Godfather.
Oh wow!
Two completely different films and two wonderful directing jobs.
See,
but
a lot
that was a matter of taste, but a lot of people consider that an outrage.
A lot of times, these problems or injustices are because you're narrowing it down to one thing.
Yes.
And you're making it a horse race.
Yes, absolutely. And it's really apples and oranges, which is a cliche, but
it should be, hey, this was a really good movie, and this was a really good movie. This was a great performance. But when you make it like, well, this guy gave the great performance, and then the other's the loser.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there's no best.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, that was Brando's contention, that why he wouldn't accept the award. I'm back to Brando. And George C. Scott, who also wouldn't show up.
Oh,
Didn't show up when he won for Patton.
Yeah.
And then Brando sent Sasheem Littlefeather.
Oh, my
which God. We did a whole episode about with Artie Lang.
Yes.
When you did Artie Lang. When you did, excuse me, Tracy Morgan. That's what led to the Hocopontus conversation.
I'm not accepting this award because I'm Hocopontus.
That's how we got there. We were talking about Brando refusing to accept his.
And I think Brando said, I would rather fuck Richard Pryor in the ass.
Did he?
Then get. Yeah.
That explains a lot.
It was in all the papers.
I don't remember that.
It made the headlines. I'd rather fuck Richard Pryor in the ass.
I don't remember that.
Than accept the Academy Award.
Wow. That is putting a fine point on it. And as long as we're talking about Dustin Hoffman.
Yes.
When I wanted him to win, I didn't want him to win over Sellers. When I wanted him to win in 82 for Tootsie.
Oh, yeah.
Which he deserved, goddammit.
Yes.
He lost to Ben Kingsley for Gandhi.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another one that pisses me off.
See, Ben Kingsley had one of those, like, holy parts where you got to give them the award.
Well, it's also a physical transformation part, which the Academy tends to go for. You know, when women...
When they make themselves ugly.
Like Charlize Theron for Monster.
Yeah, forget it. You had to give her that because she's beautiful.
Right.
And she looked ugly in that.
Right.
Or
Linda Hunt playing a man, a boy, in The Year of Living Dangerously.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And who will probably get it this year is Margot Robbie.
Oh, Margot Robbie for turning into Tonya Harding.
Yeah,
she's great in the film.
Once again,
though.
Beautiful girl. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Making herself homely.
Yes. Well, you know what the gimp factor is.
Oh, yes. Any cripple.
Yeah. My Left Foot, Rain Man. It's a long list.
Yes.
Yeah. Cliff Robertson and Charlie. It's a very, very long list. You watch that film. Again, Tootsie did not win Best Picture. Not only did Hoffman lose to Kingsley, but Tootsie lost to Gandhi.
Yes.
And for my money, good film. Not a film that is going to stand the test of time the way Tootsie does.
Yeah, and people love films about the suffering of a real-life person.
Yes. Well, Oscar does.
Oh, yes.
For sure.
That's it.
For sure.
Yeah, Oscar goes crazy.
Here are a couple of other snubs.
Like, what was the one Meryl Streep played who put the unions together?
The unions. You mean Norma Rae? That was Sally Field.
Yeah, there was Norma Rae, but then there was also a Meryl Silkwood.
Oh, it's Silkwood, right, that's right.
Yeah,
she's the woman exposed to the nuclear radiation.
Yeah,
Karen Silkwood.
You know, real-life person and they're suffering.
I'm not sure she won for that.
Oh, so, I think what won that year was Marlon Brando fucking Richard Pryor in the ass. Now, a lot of times that gets mistaken. Yeah.
They won Best Performance by a Group or Duo. Oh, my God. Let me get through these. You're killing me. Here's Raging Bull losing to Ordinary People, you mentioned, in 80. In 90, Goodfellas lost to Dancing with Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, another film that I don't think...
No, no one talks about
will
Dancing
endure. It's a good
Wolves.
Film.
Yeah.
But, revive the Western a little bit. But, I mean, Goodfellas. And Scorsese lost to Costner.
Goodfellas is one of those that fans of that just quote the dialogue back and forth.
It's just a perfect movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's excuse me, like The Godfather, we've talked about this. It's one of those movies you can't turn off when you
when you're
clicking channels and you land on it no matter where you land.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just hypnotic.
I'll add two more. 94, Forrest Gump took Best Picture over a pretty formidable duo, Pulp Fiction and The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
And I love Forrest Gump for a lot of reasons. I'm sure I'll get hate mail from our listeners for this. I do like Zemeckis. I think both of those movies are better movies.
Yeah.
I think Pulp Fiction is again, one of those movies people talk about. And The Shawshank Redemption is one of those movies that's timeless, that people will be talking about 100 years from now. I'm convinced of it. I'd be curious to see what our listeners think. And lastly, in 97, Titanic, Best Picture, over a film I like very much, L.A. Confidential.
Oh,
you like that picture?
Yeah. That was
Russell Crowe.
Oh, yes.
And Guy Pearce and James Cromwell was the heavy.
And a name that they try not to mention anymore.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, Danny DeVito was the Ouija kind of photographer. Kim Basinger. She won, actually. I think she won Best Supporting Actress. But, I don't even like Titanic as much as A Night to Remember.
I
think it's a better Titanic movie.
I'm not a big fan of Titanic.
We'll get hate mail.
Yeah.
And here I made a little list of other snubbed performances over the years. Wells, I'd mentioned, was not not nominated for Citizen Kane, or was he nominated and didn't win? Frankie, can you check that? Oh, Frankie's gone. Okay. Anthony Perkins, not nominated for playing Norman Bates in Psycho.
Yeah.
I guess it's a smaller part, but it's a pretty good showy part. Ruth Gordon, not nominated for Harold and Maude.
Okay.
Were there really five better performances by actresses that year? This one's going to kill you. Peter Lorre was not nominated for M.
Oh, see, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his greatest part.
Yeah, and Robert Mitchum did not win for Night of the Hunter.
Wow.
That year, Marty won, Borgnine.
Yeah.
And that's probably Mitchum's greatest performance.
Yeah.
Nicholson did not win for Chinatown.
Oh.
Lost to Art Carney in Harry and Tonto.
Oh, yeah.
Different kind of performance.
Yeah.
Love Art Carney. Again, anybody talking about Harry and Tonto, the way they're talking about Chinatown?
But I think that was another one, like Art Carney's old and we've been a fan of his for years.
Yes, a sentimental Oscar. Nicholson did not win for The Shining. In fact, he wasn't even nominated.
Wow.
Which is interesting. And De Niro won that year for Raging Bull. Well deserved.
Yeah.
Three other terrific performances in recent years. Dennis Hopper did not win for playing that wonderful character in Blue Velvet.
Oh.
And two Alexander Payne movies and two performances I love without Oscar gold are Paul Giamatti in Sideways. He wasn't even nominated, which is criminal. Watch that movie. He will break your heart in it. And Reese Witherspoon for her career role as Tracy Flick in Election.
Oh.
Also not no gold, my friend. So what do you think?
I wasn't paying attention.
Back to Brando and Pryor, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I think Marlon Brando.
I'm going to jump past this.
Big fat ass was climbing on.
Hey, we should get Ileana Douglas back on the show and ask her about that.
Oh, yes.
She tried to bed Brando.
Yeah.
Let's get quickly to Corey's request, Corey Stevens. We're making this a two-part producer of the month, and thank you guys for the suggestions, and thank our pal John Fotiatis for our spiffy new producer of the month theme. He wants to know which of the last 20 Oscar winners will hold up the best over time.
Ooh.
So I'm going to rattle them off quickly in the next 4 minutes. Shakespeare in Love, American Beauty, a picture I like a lot.
Yeah, I think Shakespeare in Love's already forgotten.
I think probably. It's got its fans, but I guess the question is which films are going to endure and people are going to look at or be excited about 40, 50 years from now. Gladiator, it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
In the year 00. A Beautiful Mind, the following year. Here's a movie I think people will watch for years to come, Chicago.
Oh.
Because the show has endured.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's very, very well made.
I don't think A Beautiful Mind will really hold up.
I don't think so either. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
The ones I put an asterisk next to were American Beauty.
Yeah.
And I remember Spacey, or was it? It was Sam Mendes. I think Spacey thanked Jack Lemmon, and Mendes thanked Billy Wilder.
Yeah.
Because they were both channeling Wilder, and I think The Apartment.
Oh.
A little bit in that picture. They viewed it as a modern day Wilder picture. So I think that one stands the test of time. I say Chicago. Here's a couple other ones. Lord of the Ring, Lord of the Rings movie, Return of the King. Lost to a pretty good movie that year. Do you know Master and Commander with Russell Crowe? Peter Weir movie?
Oh, yeah,
it's a very good picture. Million Dollar Baby.
Oh,
In 04, the Eastwood picture with Hilary Swank, the boxing movie.
Okay.
I thought Sideways was the movie of the year that year, but that's me. Crash in 05, in the movie Crash.
Oh, is that the one where they're...
Sandra Bullock,
your girlfriend. Oh, yes, it all had to do with racial...
Racial strife in L.A.
And what's his name? Matt Dillon?
Matt Dillon's in it. Yes, a lot of people are in that one. Brokeback Mountain was the movie that year that people were talking about, and I think is the movie that will endure more than Crash. Scorsese finally gets his Oscar in 06 for The Departed, which was a remake of a Chinese movie.
Yeah.
I believe.
I think. Or
Japanese movie.
Yeah. And now that's always been weird. It's a remake of a Japanese movie, but it's based on actual gangsters and a story.
Yeah.
That's American. Like Whitey.
Strange. Very strange.
What's his name?
Oh, Whitey Bulger. Yeah, but he wasn't playing Bulger in that one. Or the character may have been loosely based on him.
Yeah.
I think he was playing Frank Costello, a different mobster.
Oh.
In that. No Country for Old Men in 07. You seen that Coen Brothers picture?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good performances. I thought Michael Clayton was a movie to admire that year.
A good number of these are like.
You're forgetting them.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get through the list. Oh, in 08, Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, okay. Like, that was, I think, also a movie for its time.
Mm-hmm.
And no one will
That's an interesting take. In 09, The Hurt Locker.
Oh, yeah.
In 2010, The King's Speech. Colin Firth. Good movie. A movie I liked a lot from 2011, and it was kind of a gimmicky picture, but it's very well made. The Artist. Seen that movie?
Oh, okay.
John Goodman and French actors. Very good.
This is true. I met the dog.
Oh, so did I. He was at the Friars Club. Yes. He was at the Friars Roast. What the hell was the name of that dog? He was so cute. The Jack Russell. Oh, shit. I want to say Eddie, but that's the one from Frasier.
Yeah.
Oh, that dog was so cute. The movie from 2011 that I loved, and I haven't really talked about it on this show, and I will in future, speaking of Scorsese, is Hugo, which is just a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
That really should have gotten more attention than it did. Argo in 2012, 12 Years a Slave in 2013, then Birdman, then Spotlight, and last year, not La La Land, Moonlight.
Yeah.
After that mishap with Beatty and the envelope.
Oh my God!
So which of these I'm going to pick? I'm going to say The Artist, 12 Years a Slave, the Departed, Chicago, and American Beauty are the ones that endure.
Yeah.
And that's purely a guess.
Yeah.
And you?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I said, this list.
So you're going with Problem Child 2?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think 3 was ignored.
It was ignored.
Yeah.
Unfairly.
Yeah, it was an injustice.
As was your tour de force in Funky Monkey. In fact, I'm putting that at the top of this goddamn Oscar injustice list. So thank you to Eric Rhine. Thank you to Corey Stevens. Thank you, John Fotiadis. This was a fun one and an easy one, and we'll see what gets snubbed this year. And we want to wish good luck to our pal Michael Weber, who promised that he was going to wear an orange wedge pin on his tuxedo the Oscars. And we're holding you to it, Mike.
Yeah, so, you mean Mookie Wookie?
That's him.
Yes.
Mookie Wookie. You want to take us out, sir?
This has been Gilbert.
That thing.
Fuck it. This has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsession.
With Sasheen Littlefeather.